This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
ta-da! I'm living proof, baby. Miracles happen.
How about that?
You laugh, Alan, but Google's bailed me out of a lot of things. I'm telling you, I had muscle cramps. It said eat walnuts, almonds, and bananas. I've been eating them like crazy. No cramps! Who needs doctors when you got Google?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome aboard, everybody. It's hour two of Canada's daytime sports talk show coming at you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live. And howdy to those listening live at rodpeterson.com, wherever you may be, traveling, commuting, so forth. Thank you. Shane Knighty has logged in, and he'll be joining us in moments from Las Vegas. We'll be talking about the Golden Knights, God's team. Can I say that? America's team?
Sure.
And because viewers have questions about that, there's a lot of Golden Knights fans around here. And I'm going to re-up on the Quick Six show topics in just a second. But just to carry over from hour one, if you missed it, the gentleman Leonard texted in and said, LeBron James is the Rodney Dangerfield of basketball. He gets no respect. I went on that rant yesterday. I don't like that LeBron is out. You know, he gets handed the championship trophy and says he wants some damn respect. It not only perturbed me, but it irked a lot of people. You know what? Say something about Kobe. How about this one's for you, Kobe? Got to make it about you? Your fourth championship, third NBA Finals MVP, and you got to make it about you? Not getting respect? Who cares? That's for other people in your legacy to talk about how great you are and compared. But you... Okay, I've said enough about it over the last 2 days. Are you agreeing with me or are you disagreeing with me?
I completely agree. And... the stats matter. The stats matter. The numbers matter. The championships matter.
He's got them all.
He's got all that, those things, right? And the numbers matter. And I look at a couple different scenarios. We're in election time in this country and in this province. And you look at, you know, platforms matter. Policy matters. But at the end of the day, it comes down to likability. Like, you can have the greatest platform, but they need to shift the focus. Make people like you, and they'll vote for you if they like you. You know, I think of a relationship. You can check all the boxes. Yeah, but I do all the dishes, and I fix the sink, and I check all these boxes, and I do all the things you're interested in. I just don't like you that much.
There's no chemistry.
So you're not going to be the greatest boyfriend of all time or the greatest girlfriend of all time.
And here's the thing. LeBron, you're losing me. I was your biggest fan. I made a beeline to San Antonio to watch the Lakers play the Spurs last year because I wanted to say I watched LeBron live. And now I'm saying I'm not sure that I care because I don't like your attitude. That's it. So I'll bring this up with Nides and just get his thoughts on that. But here's the quick six show topics that we're talking about today. Thank you, Jordan. Number one, the Titans route the Bills 42-16 on Tuesday Night Football. The Bills look like pretenders, and the Titans definitely look like contenders. And we haven't got into the fact that your Titans have a major chip on their shoulder. We'll get into that. Point two, should Dak Prescott be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys in 2021? I say, dumb question. Today's all that matters, and it's Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle. Point three, the tab for the NHL bubbles, reported by Frank Saravelli, the baby-faced assassin, $75 to $90 million is what it cost the NHL to put on the bubbles in Toronto and Edmonton. Leads to point four, fallout from yesterday's announcement by me that the CFL is investigating Edmonton as a bubble for 2021. What would the cost be there? What's the rare risk? What's the reward? What's the ROI on doing that? I don't know. That's for them to figure out. Point five, league championship series are well underway. Tampa's up 3-0 on Houston. They can move on tonight with a win. And in the NLCS, Atlanta leads the Dodgers 2-0. And then point six, this is the topic that everybody's really gravitated to. Return to hockey in Major Junior and Junior A. We got Dub guys writing in here today agreeing with me that something's afoot. And I'm not digging into it because I don't want to jinx it, but it's just there's talk, things are happening. I just say good luck, guys and girls. Can't wait to see you on the ice. And as far as Junior A goes, Manitoba's playing, Alberta's about to play, BC's playing, and the SJHL, if they can figure this out and the teams can get out of their own way, they'll be playing soon too. Maritime's playing all across the country, so we're getting very close, and I say kudos to the provincial governments for coming up with a return-to-play protocol, and now it's up to the leagues to follow it. But as far as minor hockey goes, all the way up to Junior A, they're all playing. And the schedules are being disseminated, and it's good news that way. Let's go to, I believe it's in Summerlin, Nevada now. Shane Knighty joining us from AT&T Sportsnet, Golden Knights color guy. How you doing, Knights?
Good. You got me there? Can you hear me?
You're clear as a bell. Perfect. You're as clear as a bell. How are things down there, buddy, in the valley?
Well, it's nice. It's beautiful. It's sunny. A lot of excitement surrounding the Golden Knights, obviously, with the big signing of Alex Pietrangelo. So, I shouldn't say a lot of excitement, but it comes at a price. Not only a player of Nate Schmidt's caliber, but possibly behind Marc-Andre Fleury, maybe the most popular player here.
Well, okay. So I'll save the LeBron talk for the end because I'm going to cut right to the meat of the stuff that I wanted to get to with you. One, you were at Bill Foley's ranch in Montana. It looked like an absolute holiday, except for the long day that was rounds 2 through 7. And by the way, I was watching because Gary asked how the internet connection was, and it was smooth as a bell. Nines, I feel like I'm with you every day because I'm watching all you guys' stuff. Was it as amazing as it looked at that ranch?
Well, it really was, and especially for a kid from Neepaw, Manitoba, that, my dad's a huge outdoorsman, hunting, fishing. I grew up doing all that, and there's not much of that right around Vegas. There are some areas close by, but it's been a while since I've been in the outdoors. It really reminded me of, growing up in the prairie. Well, a little more hilly than the prairies, let's say that, a little more mountainous out in Montana. But, yeah, it's a beautiful ranch. It's 35,000 acres, Rock Creek Cattle Company, Bill Foley's property. It's got homes. It's got the golf course just hit the top 100. It's 99th in the world. You got fly fishing. You got every outdoor adventure you could imagine. So it was a great place for us to host the draft week and then lead into free agency. And at the same time, got to enjoy some of those activities.
Unbelievable. 35,000 acres is a lot. So glad you enjoyed it and you made the most of it. But then you barely got out of the draft and then free agency hits. And so, yeah, you get Pietrangelo and Nate Schmidt's gone. So a viewer asked last hour, was I surprised that he was traded within the division? And I said, listen, we'll just put it to Nides. Are you surprised that Vancouver was the partner for Nate Schmidt?
Hey, a little bit, but I think at that point, you're looking for whatever partner wanted to take 5.9 off the books. And get a draft pick back. So, essentially when you look at it and break it down, Paul Stastny and Nate Schmidt, two pretty good players. They lose them, but they get two draft picks, a third and a fourth upcoming, a player in Dahlstrom, and they get, in return, they're able to sign Alex Pietrangelo, but also able to sign Robin Leonard to that extension because that's part of it. So, pretty good trade when you think about it, the way they were able to upgrade, I believe, their team. As much as I'm a huge fan of Nate Schmidt, both the player and the person, Alex Pietrangelo is one of those, and I've said this often, I've been on a few shows now, he's one of those rare players, Rod, that passes both the eye test for people that love that, and he passes all the tests in the analytic community. He is a guy that really is favorable on any list you want to look at. He is an elite defender right from his own end. He's a legit number one in where he's going to lead your team to the ice. You got a power play. He's possibly first off, although they have an emerging guy in Shea Theodore who might meet him in the power play, but penalty kill first on the ice, defensive situations, leadership. So he's a rare player to have the opportunity to sign. And that's exactly what Kelly McCrimmon said. They've been a lot fortunate to, when you're a young organization, these are usually players that you draft and develop within, but they've been able to grab two now. Mark Stone via trade, and now Alex Pietrangelo through free agency.
We've got questions from the viewers, and we'll get to those. But the one thing, you know what it takes to win a Stanley Cup, Knights, because you've won one. And some of the pundits that I've seen have said, Pietrangelo's the one thing the Golden Knights are missing to win a Stanley Cup. Do you go along with that?
No, I don't put it on why. I think he certainly makes them better and maybe gives them, another added piece, a valuable added piece. Stanley Cups are won by teams, not individuals. That will always be the case. That'll always be my belief. He makes them overall better. Absolutely. I think, they've made a few moves. But you also need other pieces. There's elements that are unpredictable that you need to fall into place. You know, and I can relate the Boston Bruins. Brad Marchand was a young player there that started in the fourth line, you know, a couple of years early, and then a year earlier. And then by the time year later in the Stanley Cup, he's an integral piece of that. I look at Cody Glass, Peyton Krebs, these two young centermen. Now that Paul Stastny's gone, which one's going to step up and be the difference maker? Those are certain pieces, but Alex Pietrangelo certainly makes them a better team and gives them a much better opportunity to push for the Stanley Cup.
So before we move on, what about the loyalty issue? Like even Brian Burke said it the other night on Sportsnet that teams aren't going to want, yeah, players aren't going to want to sign there because there's no loyalty to the players. I think that's a bunch of bunk. What's your take on that?
My take personally is, When did we change as hockey players to feel that we're entitled to stay and play in one spot? You know, maybe because I played for six teams. Certainly, I understood early in my career. It started in junior when I got traded. It was grad year. I learned early there's not a whole lot of loyalty. We're in a business that is to win, and they're going to make decisions regardless of what we think of our emotions. So this is the business. You chose to be a professional hockey player. You get paid extremely well. You get moved, yes, it sucks. It's unfortunate. But there's a group of management, and it's not only the general manager. You have your pro scouts. You have your amateur scouts. You've got a whole department. You've got analytics that evaluate, that try to look to the future. They try to predict. They try to evaluate and see, project what they need to win, and they make the moves necessary. That's what every team does, and they don't take a whole lot of the players' feelings into account. And they shouldn't.
I was going to say, boom, mic drop. And I've been in dressing rooms nights where I've seen guys get traded and you're crying, going around hugging guys. This is in junior, and I'm like, well, that sucks, but you're learning early, just like you just did. I'm like, oh, did the game change and I missed it? I don't think this has changed. This is the way. You win a Stanley Cup, maybe. But you didn't even get to the Stanley Cup final. And as I said, Kelly McCrimmon's got to answer, too. You don't think he's not in Bill Foley's office explaining why they weren't in the Stanley Cup final? It's his job to make them better, period.
Well, it is. You're 100% right. That's Kelly McCrimmon, and it's tough. And without a doubt, I believe it was a very difficult move to move Nate Schmidt because popular in the community, popular in the room. He was a unique guy. His personality, his character, they're going to love him in Vancouver. There's not a whole lot of guys like that. He doesn't have many bad days, and I think it was infectious through the room. But that said, Nate Schmidt was going to be the highest paid player above Shea Theodore, or defenseman, excuse me. He was not number one power play unit. He was not number one penalty kill, and he was not leading them in minutes. Pietrangelo is going to come in and possibly do that. You're going to have a 1-2. Shea Theodore, it continues his projection, just crazy elevation from December on of last year. He's an elite defender. And now they have two guys arguably in the top 10 in the league. And so Nate Schmidt's gone. You move on. This is the team, Kelly McCrimmon. They want to win. They have an owner that wants to win. He's very vocal about it. He's very confident about it. And if you have an owner that does that, well, that's pressure on the general manager to win now, and they've got to make moves that they feel the best. And they getting Pietrangelo is a rare, like it's rare he can come available and you're able to grab him for 7 years.
Yeah, he was by far the most coveted free agent on the market. So from our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowich is watching. He says, what brand is that hat? I might need to expand my hat collection. Do you recall what you put on this morning, Shane?
Yeah, this hat, Threads of Envy in Vegas. Yeah.
What is it?
Threads of Envy.
What is that?
It's a local company that I should make sure I'm saying it right. They gave it to me, but it's just let me check. But it's they do a lot. The players, yeah, Threads of Envy. I was right.
Threads of Envy. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Do you know where people can get it? Because you're wearing it, and now people want it, Shane. You've got that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can go online. I believe Instagram, they have an account. And then online, Derek England. Ryan Reeves does a lot of support with them. They're great hats. I love them. I got a camo one. So go ahead. Order online.
That's amazing.
We're all doing it.
Well, I thought it was a Golden Knights thing. Well, it's Envy. I get it. I thought it was a Nevada thing. Okay, I totally get it.
Well, it is. It's Envy, but yeah, Threads of Envy. So, but it's spelt, yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it.
We can talk about this forever. Just check it out.
Clearly. So we had Carlo Colaiacovo last hour, and he feels that the NHL will be dropping the puck January 1st next season. He's applauded them for the way they handled the bubble. What's your take on starting on time, if that's on time, January 1st?
Oh, I sure hope Carlo's right. I hope we can get the season going January. I've heard rumor reports. I've heard, they feel they can get January 1. I've heard, possibly maybe February 1st. I believe they can get it going in January. There's different scenarios that they can make this work, and it's going to be a slow, slow process to get to maybe the capacity they want. What are we going to look like for fans? But I believe in arenas, hopefully at that time, and a lot of this depends on the world, Rob. I don't know what it's going to look like, but hopefully it's a little safer. We can start bringing fans back in the building. That's going to be key. And if we can't immediately and they start in a bubble scenario, they have to know when they're going to be able to bring fans back. This is a gate-driven business, the NHL, and I don't think we see them really going until there's a plan to put people in seats in some capacity.
Interesting. Last one. I'll say happy belated Canadian Thanksgiving to you. It looked like you guys had a little gathering there, and Lala said that there's a nighty tradition. What was this? Is it Ukrainian tradition for Thanksgiving? What is it that you guys
did? I think it's a tradition. My grandpa used to do it when we go to Brad. It was Thanksgiving. It was Christmas. Maybe it was just every gathering. But it was get some good Canadian whiskey and shot passed around at Thanksgiving. And everybody gives, you pass it around, you take a shot of whiskey and just say, give your thanks, quick little thanks to what you're thankful for. And move on. Yeah, my grandpa Max Devecny did that from Brandon. So did that for years. And you know what? It's funny. I've taken it. And then my friends were good friends that are still my closest friends. We were in Winnipeg when I lived there. They texted me, said, well, we'll be doing a round of the. So it's grown. And now I brought it to people down here. There's a lot of Canadians. There was six or seven couples and there was only four Americans. So it's a lot of Canadians down here if we had a good Canadian Thanksgiving celebration.
That's what I saw. You're taking over and spreading your traditions down there to the valley. I like it. Nides, I could go on all day. My best to your family, your brother Sean, who I didn't bring up the last time that you were on. Hey to him. I haven't forgot about him. And enjoy the offseason for whatever it is, and hopefully we can do this down the line.
Absolutely. You can call me anytime. I could go all day, too. This is it's great to chat, Rod. It's funny. I just to end it. Kelly McCrimmon not long ago sent me. Said, "Do you remember this?" He sent me. It was either the Regina paper, but it was the Prince Albert when we were down 3-1. It was me cross checking. Was it Holden? I'd have to look at it in front of the net. And I remember that series down 3-1, playing for Prince Albert to Regina, and then there was a little bit of a.
You ran our goalie.
That was not you. That wasn't me.
Garnet Jacobson. Oh, I'm very familiar with the story. We still talk about it here.
16-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So anyways, it was funny. Just not long ago, Kelly McCrimmon sent me a clip of that. Brought back some memories. Anyways, always good to chat. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Nides. Appreciate it. Stay safe. Bringing up the wounds. We still have the wounds. I remember it very well. Is Matty Dunstone here? He's here? Okay, we're going to take a timeout, be back. We've got a sports update coming up. Matt Dunstone joining us right here in the bunker. It's a big day. It's a big day. Big hump day here in Canada's daytime sports talk show. We'll be right back on the Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. The RP Show continues as we shift gears a little bit. Still talking winter sports, moving from the Golden Knights over to curling. And I said to Matt Dunstone, this is a distinct honor to have him here in the bunker because he's huge in my hometown of Milestone, Saskatchewan, because he looks like any one of the Brown family from down there. Matt, look, you came over to curling Saskatchewan here a few years ago, and it's been a tidal wave of love for you here from this province. Were you surprised a little bit?
You know what? I've always known Saskatchewan to be the great curling province that it was, and you know, everybody's welcomed me here with open arms, and it's what keeps me coming back for more. I love playing here and just love talking curling with the people of Saskatchewan.
They know they don't get enough.
No,
you've noticed that, right?
Exactly, and that's exactly like me. So, I mean, we go on for days with people in the club and people that have come out to events here to watch us. It's been a great experience.
So we have news that we're going to get to with Matt in a second. But first, for those that don't know that are watching around North America, defending provincial Saskatchewan men's champion went all the way to the, I guess, say third place game, the semifinal last year at the Brier. And it was heartbreaking. However, Braden Muscoe told me his dream a couple years ago, putting this super team together, and that you were a huge part of it. And to watch the growth, Matt, it's been better every year, right? So yes, yeah. It was heartbreaking at the Brier last year, obviously, but you just got you thirsty for more, right?
Well, exactly, and we're kind of motivated as ever now. We have that belief, that closure that we can do it, and that's what last year showed us, and we're taking that into this year, and there truly is that belief that, you know, if we can come that close, we can sure as hell finish the darn thing off, right? And then that's kind of the goal now, working towards that, and we're motivated as ever, COVID or not, to do so.
Like I said, we will get to that news in a second, speaking about this weekend's event, but take me through last year's, well, first of all, the Tankard playdowns and then the Brier itself. It was exciting.
It was exciting, and you know, we didn't do anything necessarily the easy way. We even in provincials, we found ourselves in the C event a little bit earlier than we would have liked, obviously, and then that's when we started playing some of our best curling. So we made sure not to peak too early in the provincials last year, and then you look at even in the Brier, some things kind of worked out in our favor. I go back to games against New Brunswick early on. We were down 5-1, I think after the fifth end break. And then the game after that, where we beat BC by taking four in the 10th to win two. So, you know, some things sort of worked out. And it's funny in curling, you know, anybody who wins a big event, they'll often say that those sort of things go your way to make those big runs. Because, I mean, the top teams in the game are so close. Those are kind of the breaks you need to put you over the top. But, you know, there was a lot of situations in those two events where we sure could have been down and out. But some things went our way and we stuck with it.
Well, I have to say this. Our longtime viewers, our P1 viewers will know that I'm not the biggest curling aficionado. I curled in high school, made it as far as the regional playdowns. That's it. But I don't know enough about it at the level you guys are at. So when you lost out in that semifinal last year, the curling aficionados were saying, you can't make mistakes in games this big. Even one will cost you a game. And that's kind of what happened in the semifinal, right?
Yeah, and there was, I'd look back at the first two ends. We had a draw for two in the first end. Missed that by not very much, but it was missed nonetheless. And then next end, Brad makes a good shot for three, and we were fighting and scratching and clawing the rest of the way. And it's just those little things. We make that draw for two in the first end. It's a whole new ball game, and we got them chasing us. So it's you definitely, a team like Gushu, one of the top teams in the game, you want them chasing you. You don't want to be chasing after them.
I was just going to say, when you talk about Brad Gushu, when you get to a Brier like that, was there a time that you were starstruck by those big names? Are you over that? Is there something intimidating about going up against a team like that?
Yeah, I've actually talked to the guys about this recently, actually. I can honestly say the first couple of years, I feel like I didn't fit in with those guys. I didn't feel like I was good enough. I thought every now and then I could compete with them and beat them, but now over this year and the last couple or the last year, so I can truthfully say that I feel like I fit in, and there's no intimidation factor there anymore. Played all of them now in big games and beaten them, lost to them in those games too. So I can truthfully say now that I feel like I fit in with those guys and have no problems going up toe-to-toe against any of them.
Well, you've got the wounds now. I kind of equate it to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we just had Braden Coburn on yesterday. They would climb on the mountain, right? Get knocked down. Yeah. Finally, you get to the
Washington
top.
Capitals, too. Same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, very similar.
It's a mental thing, and I'm sure curling is just no different than any other sport. Now, before we do look forward, shortly after the Brier, earth-shattering news in terms of how would we explain it? Morphing of the curling powers in Saskatchewan. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean it's fun. Obviously, we got the two new squads here now, and it's great to have something like this in curling. I mean, you look at all the other sports, like you got the Red Sox and the Yankees, and there's no lie that to have that, it makes everybody better, right? So like us going toe-to-toe with Flash, it's going to make both teams better. It's, you look at the Cooies and the Botchers playing against each other in Alberta. You look at Jacobs and Epping now in Ontario. Like those teams are pushing each other. McHugh and Carruthers back when they weren't on the same team. You have those guys pushing each other to get better. And I see this as no different. And you know what? One of the most fun things about sports is rivalries and the fire that are in the games, and I expect those games to be no different.
We had Braden on explaining it when it happened, and Kirk Myers, and then we had from Team Flash, Colton and Catlin. So the rivalry's fierce.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
fire's burning.
I guess I'm pretty low on the totem pole, too, I guess, if I'm the fifth one.
Your first time you're coming on, yeah. By the way, one of our viewers in Mexico, Armando Moreno, writes, and he says, I love me some curling. I saw it first in 2002 Winter Olympics and fell in love. Darren, remind me, by the way, we got to talk about that three-down story on the Canadians playing in the Mexican League. Did you see that today? Yeah, we'll talk about that next segment. So, moving forward. COVID's hit. It screwed up sports big time. You guys are still kind of picking through the wreckage. So what do we know about competition this year?
Well, what we know as of right now is we're planning to play this weekend. Typically by now we're at least three or four events into the season. But we kind of took matters into our own hands and we created our own event with some of our great sponsors. We called it the Vaderstad Saskatchewan Super Series, presented by Caledon Leasing. And we invited four other teams from Saskatchewan, four of the top junior or top teams in Saskatchewan, I should say, that we felt to this event. We want to kind of keep it small to begin with, just because we're not really sure yet. There's been a couple events around Canada that have gone, but everybody's still kind of going with the flow, that sort of thing. So we want to keep it small we're just excited to get going. Props to the Highland Curling Club for actually letting us do it. And you know, we're just excited to get out there. Our team has been chatting for the last 6-7 months now. Just like how pumped we are to get going, and we've been doing a lot of the off-ice stuff. Like it's been nice in a sense with all this time off to really work on. Obviously the sponsorship's a big thing and just our team dynamics and being able to drill those down a little bit, so we're not kind of doing that on the fly. So it's been nice in that sense to not have to be on the ice, and we could really focus on some of that more off ice stuff. And now that it feels like it's showtime, we're pretty hungry to get out there.
It's this weekend. It will be streamed, and we'll give you those details where you can watch from your mobile device at the Highland. What's the format?
Yeah, so we got full round robin, so there's five teams, so we'll get our four round robin games in. Top three are going to make the playoffs, so first place, straight to the final. And there's going to be no tiebreaker game, so that last stone draw is going to be awfully important. So, we're just getting some games in, been down at the Highland a little bit now, and ice is great. So looking forward to a great weekend playing some of Saskatchewan's best.
It's curlingzone.tv, Darren. That's the website. Curling Zone is where you can find the streaming. And that's tremendously exciting. Now, you guys, I've been talking to Braden a little bit through this, and Kirk. As far as social distancing goes, you guys had to have thought that curling would lend itself similar to baseball, right? Golf almost?
Golf is one we compared it to.
So what have you been digging into this, or have you left it to the others as to what the parameters will be to play curling in this environment?
I leave it to the smarter guys, and I just kind of sit back and do what I'm told. But I learned a little bit. Again, it's one of those things we're kind of learning on the fly with it, and what works and what doesn't. We've kind of got our rules set for this weekend, and there's, I guess the difficult part right now is across the provinces, there's a lot of different rules. Ontario's doing things differently than Alberta, and whether who's right or who's wrong, nobody really knows, and I don't think either or right or wrong. So I would say we're going to be going the two sweepers this weekend, just like Alberta has. Again, there's going to be no sweeping behind the tee line for the skips of any opponent's stone at all. So that'll be a little bit different for me, having to watch a stone grind to a halt in the back eight to lose a game. And I'm not that my sweeping would do much help anyways, but, there's going to be those little different, those things that are a little bit different, in the game that it'll be a learning experience for everybody. And I'm sure I'll get caught sweeping a stone I probably shouldn't be at some point.
And I'm sure they'll probably look the other way. I would hope that it's going to be forgiven because it is new to everybody. But I did see the post on Instagram from Saskatchewan Curling Association with regards to, here's the parameters. If you can find a way to make this work, you're welcome to curl. Same thing as hockey. It's just about every sport is looking at the exact same thing, except football. Can you put the comment up from Colin? Do you mind taking some questions from viewers?
Absolutely, let's do it.
Colin from Ottawa writes in, what's it like playing Kevin Cooey's team? Neither Kevin or his vice, BJ Neufeld, talk much, but they have the look of cold-blooded assassins on the ice. Thoughts on that? Well,
that's exactly what they are, is cold-blooded assassins. They're two of the best in the game. BJ's sure... Him and Kevin, like, right away have just fit like a glove, those two, and when they're on, they're the best back end in the game when they're feeling it. It's not fun to play them when they're at their best.
But their lead does enough talking for everybody.
Some would say so. And everyone would agree.
Benny Hebert, of course, we're talking about meat, which we're still afraid to bring in here to do the interview now that we've hit national TV because he dropped 3 F-bombs in the first 30 minutes of our interview on here. The great Ben Hebert, by the way. We love him, but like he does enough talking for 4 of them.
He takes care of my talking, too. It keeps me quiet. I just let Benny run for me, too.
I called him the Tiger Woods of curling, which, by the way, he liked.
He would eat that up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's been talking about his golf game a little bit this year. He's saying he's shooting in the 60s a little bit, too, so maybe Tiger is a good name for him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, shooting like it.
Slamming brooms, kicking rocks, swearing, and he's literally said, I have enough friends. I don't need to make any more friends. We're talking about Ben Hebert. He doesn't care if he upsets people. Now, having said all that, I mean, this spiel this weekend, just a non-sanctioned fun event, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So what is it like to have had your events canceled for the most part for the year when you're on the rise like you are?
Yeah, you know, it's difficult. Obviously, the Grand Slams have been postponed to a later date, and those are our biggest events of the year. We've had a pretty good mindset with it. You know, everybody's going through some stuff right now, whether it be sports, not sports, any, like, everybody's going through some stuff. So we've kind of taken that sort of mindset. There's not a lot of sympathy going around for athletes right now, so we're certainly not looking for it.
Yeah, I'm trying to change that, by the way. I really am.
I've been listening to that, and you know, I agree. Like, it's tough for non-athletes. I see that side of it, but at the same time, it's very tough to put yourself in an athlete's shoes. Like, I couldn't imagine being in a bubble for 3 months, having no, and I get they're making money, but you can't put a price on your family, your kids. Like, you can put absolutely no price on that. So when I see those sort of arguments, I kind of get bothered a little bit.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you.
Hey, but no, I think this is a great topic that needs to be talked about more. You know, I just, there's, I get that they're making millions, but at the end of the day, they're people just like you and I. Like, it's...
Well, not only that, though. I mean, that was... You mentioned that, but also this sports don't matter. You know how many times in the pandemic I've been told it's just sports? It's just sports. It's most people that I know's livelihood.
Yeah.
Right? So
Think of what sports have brought. Like for the Riders example. Like, look what the Riders have done for this city, for this province, right? Like, it's brought people together. It's like the inspiration that athletes give to young children. Like, it's there's no argument, in my opinion, about how important sports are in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this weekend with what you guys are doing is going to, well, the curling community is just going to go nuts. Again, they're going to be able to watch it at Curling Zone. Dupes is on the call of it. And the important thing with what you're talking about is the sponsorship, because I know how hard you guys work to get sponsors. This hasn't helped. I kind of relate it to rodeo a little bit because my brother was a competitive cowboy. Yeah. You can't compete if you don't have sponsors. It's hard to get sponsors unless you win. And right, there's a lot of everybody's got their hand out in the world of sports, really. So, and you were able to secure some sponsors for this weekend. So maybe if you can mention them again to the viewers here.
Yeah, Vaderstad, who's hopped on with us for this year, and then Caledon Leasing, who's been with Kirk a little while. They're helping us out with this event, and you know, it's we've been very fortunate with our sponsors this year that have kind of hung with us, and we're, that's been another fun part of all this, is we're kind of looking into some new ways now to give them the proper exposure and give them what they deserve with their sponsorship. So it's kind of been fun in that sense, thinking of some new ideas with the guys on what we can do, and we've already started doing some fun things with
awesome them. Well, we're more than happy to allow you to use this as a vehicle to get their name out. One question before we go from our buddy in Saskatoon, the Jug. That's Pat. He says, who is the more competitive curler, you or your girlfriend? What's the story there?
More competitive? Yeah. So my girlfriend, Erin Pincott, she was Team BC at the Scotties in Moose Jaw this year. We're both pretty competitive with curling. I would say I'm the more competitive person just in general. Like, we play crib and I lose to her and I take 10 minutes away from not even talking to her for a bit. on the ice, we're both pretty competitive. We play a little bit of mixed doubles together. But yeah, they're another good young up and coming team too. And they work awfully hard at it as well.
Good stuff. Big fan here, by the way. I'm so happy that you're representing our province. I think you fit it like a glove, and good luck, and have some fun this weekend. I know you will.
Yeah, it's great to be back in Saskatchewan. Can't wait to get to curling, and hopefully we get to do this a couple more times already.
Sounds good. Matt Dunstone of Team Dunstone here in the bunker. Dupes joins us next. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. We're going to jump into a sports update here. The Tampa Bay Rays can book a trip to the World Series with a win over the Houston Astros tonight. The Rays are up 3-0 in the series heading into Game 4, the ALCS tonight in San Diego. In the NLCS, the Atlanta Braves look to take a 3-0 lead over the LA Dodgers when the teams meet in Arlington. The Skate Canada International Figure Skating event has been canceled amid concern of rising COVID cases in Ontario. The Grand Prix event was scheduled for the end of October in Ottawa. We had that here a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was huge. Huge.
Huge.
Canceled this year. Canada's Denis Shapovalov is through to the second round of the St. Petersburg Open Tennis Tournament. He never faced breakpoint in a 6-2, 6-3 win over Serbia's Viktor Troicki.
Nailed it.
Shapo will next face Ilya Ivashka.
Didn't nail it.
Belarus. Yes, I did.
I don't know.
It's spelled phonetically.
I don't know who the kid is.
How do you screw that up? You know what we're learning? Just hang on. Let me finish this. League-leading Toronto FC takes on the New York Red Bulls in Major League Soccer action tonight. Toronto looks to tie a club record with a sixth straight win. Also tonight, Montreal takes on New England and Vancouver battles LA. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll ever have, with 7 amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. It's interesting with the New York Red Bulls. I'm so happy to have Red Bull on board here. Red Bull just gets out of the box with thinking with their sponsorships. Like, they own and have the name of a team there. Keith Olley's hockey team in Germany, the former Lightning Leaf Oiler, friend of ours, he plays for a team that's owned by Red Bull. And they like out of the box stuff.
Yeah, they do.
So we like them too. From Clark, I believe that's Clark. Anybody been following the KBO lately? Unbelievable thing. I was up really early this morning, 6 a.m. To me, that's really early. Riding the bike. I'm flipping through TSN channels on my iPad, and they're still showing KBO baseball on TSN, picking up the ESPN feed. I see our teams are still in last place, yours and mine,
yeah.
I think.
We haven't updated that board.
Alan, the intern, was updating it on, like, Friday.
Oh, was he?
Maybe you weren't.
We're still in last.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. And I don't know if the big donger has come back from his broken fibia injury or not. We were all getting into the KBO season with the big donger. We got a big, almost life-size mural of him on the wall here. And then he gets hurt. What an interesting little lesson that is.
Yeah.
How once the stars get hurt, you lose interest. It's a thing.
It's a thing. Like, the stars sell tickets, keep interest. Like, you can follow for more than just wins and losses and the team, right? And you learn that when you're following a league that you don't really have any ties to. And you get excited about this guy, Dong Min Han, and the big donger. You give him a nickname, and all of a sudden, now we're captivated, right?
As were our viewers.
And the viewers.
Right? We all were getting it going, and then whatever. And then sports can return here.
Yeah.
And we kind of lost interest. But they're still playing over there, and I'll have to get an update on that. Brady in Saskatoon writes in and says, hey, Rod, what team will be the last undefeated standing in the NFL? Seahawks, he says. He says, when our defense really gets rolling, oh, baby, whole league better be on standby because we're going to light the whole league on fire. That's Brady in Saskatoon. He goes on to say LeBron deserves his respect. What he's brought to the game is special. All you old boneheads either don't know basketball or don't respect greatness. Not saying LeBron is better than MJ, but he deserves respect. Can you believe he called us old boneheads?
I know.
Brady, I think you need to go have a pizza pop and have a nap. I just don't like the guys sitting there beating their chest saying they don't get any respect. There's something inherently troubled with those people. You know?
Yeah.
I don't. What respect do you need? Let your numbers do the talking. Go out there and win the day every day. When it all stacks up at the end, you can look back and go, oh, yeah, that's a Hall of Fame career. What's his deal? What does he want? Does he want us to say that he's better than MJ? Because he's not.
I know.
He could win 8 championships, and I don't think he'll be better than Michael Jordan. Hey! Clark is telling us Dong Min Han, the big donger, is back in the lineup, hitting 249 with 15 home runs in 62 out of 131 games. So the big donger's back playing, so I guess we should start to paying attention.
Here's the thing on Seattle.
Okay.
The next 4 games, Arizona, San Fran, Buffalo, and then the LA Rams. All contenders. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you start looking at that, and they're not getting through that unscathed, right? For the Titans, you got Houston, Cincinnati, Chicago, Indy. Now, Pittsburgh's in there, too, that rescheduled game. But strength of schedule. So I like my chances.
I think now would be a good time to break and come back, and we will talk about the 3downnation.com article on the, was it 6 Canadian players that went down 5. And played in the Liga Football Americano in Mexico, and they're saying they had a bad experience. I have a contrary viewpoint to what everybody else is taking on that. It's at 3downnation.com, so you got a couple minutes right now to read the article if you haven't yet. John Hodge putting it together. It's a splendid ESPN 30 for 30 type. Nice work, John. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll talk about the rock star of the day. It's the RP Show, and you are watching on Game Plus, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Dupes, here for overtime, and we got 7 minutes to pull it off. And we'll talk about the rock star of the day today. This is tough. This is really tough. 3 great guys, but I got to say, Matt Dunstone, who I'd never met until today, is as cool, if not cooler in person than I had hoped.
Yeah.
And they really love him in my hometown. They're just something. He's just so cute. Rock star of the day will include Matt Dunstone, Shane Knighty, or Carlo Colaiacovo. And if the Rockstar people are watching from Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions, we might have to order more hats because people are wanting the hats, Darren.
I know.
I got a guy coming by my house today, by the way, and I'm giving him a hat because as a branding merchandising person told me here recently, if somebody wants to wear your logo, you give it to them. Right? So the guy that's going to get the hat, and he also wants one for his son, I'm going to give to him. So, but it's sort of like the Riders. I'll tell you a little dirty secret. Back in the day, the players, and I'm not going to name them, but they didn't like the fact that the team-issued stuff that they got could be purchased in the store. They didn't like that. And I get it. They think that what's team-issued should be just for the team. Well, the Riders, the merchandising people at that time weren't dumb. They knew that these fans could get their hands on exactly what the players are wearing, they're going to buy it like crazy. And that's exactly what happened.
And pay top dollar
and
for those.
And pay more for it. So I said to Darren last week, I think we should be selling the Rockstar hats in the store. And you agree.
I do. I agree. I think we should. And we have looked into hats. So possibly.
Right.
Yeah.
Paul Shanks, one of our viewers, says, I would agree with you, RP. These young whippersnappers don't even know what respect means. FFS. That means for frick's sakes. You like that, eh? Look it up.
Different swear word, though.
If you weren't watching earlier, I'm watching Netflix shows, and one is Deaf You, and it's great. And one of the swear words is this. I'm picking up the swear words real fast. I don't know why. It's something about me. That's what sticks.
You're not okay with it. There's no room for that in this dojo.
Hey, here's from Roxanne's watching from Rockstar. She puts the rocks in Rockstar. She says it's almost winter. Should we do toques instead?
Ooh.
You guys sort that out. Yeah, probably both.
Hot.
That would be really cool. She knows what she's doing. But anyways, I promise we talk about the story at 3downnation.com. So I want to say six Canadian U Sports alum, or like right out of U Sports football players. The one interviewed came from UBC, right? Went down to play in the Mexican Football League, and they said they had a bad experience. And it wasn't like I was thinking they ended up in the jungle with a gun to their head.
I know.
That's the first thing I thought.
Once you go to Mexican jail, you don't leave Mexican jail.
Right. I'm like, because I've been in those scary Mexican situations, by the way. I'm like, oh, man, I can just imagine what happened to those poor guys. And then they realized, well, the team owner said they'd pick us up and take us to practice, but they were all always late.
We had to tackle in practice.
Yeah, we had to tackle. We didn't have any equipment. They made us tackle in practice. We didn't have any gear on. I wasn't going to hit anybody without gear. That I get, but it's not the most horrible thing that's going to happen in your life. They were making $350 a week. I didn't see anywhere in the story where they said they didn't get paid.
No, I didn't see that either.
They said the coaches didn't have full playbooks. They said it would be like a high school playbook, and I'm thinking, this is, I think, a fairly new league, too, guys. Like, what were you expecting? You were going to walk into the Patriots facility? It's a Mexican minor pro football league. It was exactly what I would expect you would have happened to you. I could tell you some stories of semi-pro hockey leagues that guys have walked into that would have dreamt to have what you had in Mexico. Maybe that's that entitlement that we were talking about earlier with Shane Knighty. Or with Paul Shanks. And I'm not saying that it wasn't, you know, the one guy got sick and he thinks he had coronavirus. He said it was diagnosed as H1N1. I don't know if you read that in the article.
Yeah.
And all his medical bills were paid for. First class treatment in the hospital. So when I saw this headline, bad experience for players in the LFA, I was expecting the worst. I read the article and I'm like, this is exactly how I thought it would go. What did you expect?
There's some that came from UBC, Mount Allison, different universities in Canada, and you get treated pretty well at universities in Canada at the university level and the NCAA level, of course. So when you go to pro football, no matter what, I think we just expect that it's going to be a step forward, an improvement, right? That you have owners with money, there's going to be amenities, and you're going to have all of these things and beach resorts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it just wasn't there. And, you know, being late for practice, you didn't have a playbook for 2 weeks. I think that was the biggest surprise, is that, you know, this is supposed to be professional football. You know, there's supposed to be some sort of a relationship with the Canadian Football League, and we want to get this global expansion and bring players in, and it's a complete gong show. And not organized, and, you know, kind of like a, you know, poorly run high school football program and whatnot. So it shows you how far away they are from actually being a really credible pro football league. But the one thing that stood out for me is that there was no questions about the talent. They actually said in the article that the talent was pretty good, that they were impressed by the talent. So on that side of it, you know, the league's doing what it needs to do. And now they got to get the standards and bring more people on board, qualified football coaches and people to run these programs the right way. If the owners have the money, bring in real football people to do the job and teach them what to do.
So the viewers are picking up what we're putting down here. Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, says, you think guys got excited about walking into Taylor Field having no hot water in the second best league in the world? Believe me, I've been there when those players showed up. I remember Rocky Butler showing up for the first time ever at Taylor Field, looking around and going, nice practice facility. Where do we play? At Taylor Field. That's a true story. So I'm with you. I was pleasantly surprised in the article to hear them say that the talent was there. And again, the owners picked you up every day and took you to practice, but they were late sometimes. Are you familiar with the term Mexican time? It's a thing. So they're a little late.
Extra cerveza.
Yeah. No, like,
be there in 10.
I think you're lucky that you got a ride And I just think that this Mexican league, honestly, what these guys are saying in the three down article, my opinion only, but that's what I get paid to do here, is those Mexican guys are going to say, what a bunch of ungrateful Canadians. We tried to give them a great experience. We looked after all their health needs. We paid them. They got paid, didn't you? That's my take. Told you it would be a little different than what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
And sure. Oh, and from Armando in Mexico, who's the biggest supporter of the LFA, says, I just don't think the league as an organization is ready to bring talent in, but Mexican players are definitely talented enough to play abroad. It was in the article. I encourage everybody to go read it. And again, great work by John Hodge at 3Down. Everybody's talking about it. Breaking news, by the way, from an anonymous source of whom I trust. Here it is. Breaking news. WHL starts January 6th. I wrote him back. Thanks. Got a link? He said, no. Announcement will be today. Camp start next week. There's my tip. That's the tip that I just got live while we're on the air. January 6th, WHL to start. An announcement expected later today. Camps will be beginning soon. What did we say earlier on the program? Unless Lazarek agreed, something's afoot.
Mm-hmm.
So we await the announcement. We pray for this being the best of news.
The calm before the storm, right? It is very calm in Western Hockey League and junior hockey circles.
Exactly. Okay, that's it. Thanks to Carlo Koliakovo, Shane Knighty, Matt Dunstone. Great job by the Hound Dog producer, Clark, putting it all together. Tomorrow, Tim McAuliffe from Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Tampa Bay Lightning draftee Jaden Durow of the Queen City. And Paul Waldo, three-time Grey Cup champion, going to join us to talk about the food bank campaign during the pandemic and talk a little ball with P-dubs. Thanks, all. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.